Yesterday at the men's breakfast, we heard a stirring testimony of personal trials. Time was short, so he only shared two instances from his life, but both portrayed a level of difficulty that could easily have gotten to the breaking point for anybody. Now, that man had other challenging situations that he could have related, and he's only one person out of hundreds who have faced similar trying situations or might even be facing them right now. So why does life have to be like that? At times it seems that God's plan is just too hard, requiring too much from us. Couldn't I just have an easier path for a while? Those questions cross the minds and challenge the hearts of everyone. All of that, though, that seems so distant from Christmas. We should be focused on happier things right now, right? Well, actually, trials are not distant from Christmas at all, going all the way back to the very first one. The key participants in the Christmas story, both of them, faced difficulties that God had planned that actually had to happen in order for God to advance his plan for the gospel. That is his plan for people today as well. He continues to use trials in the lives of people in order to accomplish his gospel work. And that includes you as well. Now, it would be challenging for any of us to compare ourselves and our experiences to what Mary and Joseph went through, but there are real parallels there that we need to see this morning, because that's the message of these two passages that we'll look at today, each of them describing the announcement of the angel to one of those participants. Message this morning is important. It's that God uses the trials of life to advance the gospel. They're just that important. What God expects of you then is that you accept your role. Even if you can't see how this helps the gospel, to trust God that he can. And it's all part of this very important plan. Now, ordinarily, we like to take, if we have more than one passage to consider, we like to take them in the biblical order, which would take us to Matthew first, of course. But actually, the angel visited Mary first. So let's take the chronological order, and we'll go to the passage we already read together this morning in Luke chapter 1, and we'll consider this first about the work of the gospel in Mary's life, and then we'll go back to Matthew and consider the same question in regard to Joseph. Mary's experience recorded for us in Luke chapter 1 tells us that the gospel challenges faith. The message that Mary heard that day was a challenge to her trust in God. Could that really be true? Could God actually do that? There would certainly be some room for skepticism in the hearts of any one of us in a similar circumstance. But the gospel regularly challenges faith. And that was true in the Christmas story as well. For Mary, the role that she heard about that day seemed utterly impossible. Humanly impossible. The call to Mary is the same for us today. Base your faith on truth. Not just your perception of it, because that can be an error, but base your faith on the reality of truth, revealed truth. For us, that's truth revealed in the pages of Scripture. For Mary, it was truth revealed through the voice of the angel that day. So verse 30, we're going to start there this morning to the actual content of the angel's message. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Of course, that doesn't mean she earned favor with God. It says she found it. She came across it. Quite by accident on her part, unknowingly on her part. This is the first she's heard about this. It was the gift of God. God had chosen her to be the recipient of his grace. And that's what the angel is announcing. God's grace for somebody who is ill-equipped on her own to fulfill her role in God's plan. Well, that's true for all God's servants. There's no good thing we can accomplish for the gospel or otherwise apart from his grace. God's grace enables God's servant. And that's what she just found out. You're in that category, Mary. Well, who was Mary? Well, she's from this obscure little village that hardly anybody knew about and nobody ever went to visit back then. She's humble, an unlikely candidate to do anything significant in life, but exactly the one that God chose to use. The angel goes on in verse 31, "Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Now, as we know, Mary was engaged to be married. This all would have fit into her plans very nicely. Yes, she's going to be getting married sometime in the coming months, and she would hope that that would lead to the birth of a child and the starting of her family and anticipate God was going to bless this way, and this all would suit her really well. Except there's a clear implication here, and Mary doesn't miss this, that she's about to conceive a child now. She's about to get pregnant long before her wedding day. That was not according to her plan. How is that going to happen? All of a sudden now, she is grappling with something that we grapple with regularly. As God's sovereign plan unfolds, we realize that this is not matching up to my plans at all. In fact, this is going to be disastrous for my plans. My plan isn't going to happen now the way I had hoped, if it ever happens at all. There's a way, an aspect of this that was shattering for Mary. Now, of course, there is an aspect of this that caused her to rejoice. But let's keep in mind that the rejoicing, there's no evidence of that until after she goes to visit her relative Elizabeth, which she does immediately after the angel is done with his announcement. She goes there for a couple of different reasons, all related to part of what the angel says, which we'll see that in just a little bit. But it's after that encounter with Elizabeth that she can well up with praise to God. In the meantime, I think we have to assume that she's wrestling with this. This is challenging. It's hard to see much good news here at all because of how this is going to affect her life. So let's continue with the message. Verse 32 tells a little bit more about the nature of this baby. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. All right, now that's an amazing aspect of the story, and that certainly helps. This is not just going to be an ordinary baby. Mary, this will be none other than the Messiah himself. Now she's getting insight into the purpose for God's change of her plan. She has been chosen by God's grace to be the vehicle that provides the human body for the coming Messiah. Now this includes some truth that she would have had no way to anticipate. Truth that is actually apparent in the Old Testament, but had somehow escaped the notice of even the most learned rabbis. There's some combinations here, and it continues in verse 33, that he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. You see, this tells Mary and clarifies for us that the Messiah has to be more than just human. He has to be God as well. He'll be the son of none other than God himself. And yet he will be human. And she will give him a human name, Jesus. And he is going to reign forever. All of this is true. All of this is marvelous. But what's this do to Mary's life? All right, now that's starting to produce some questions in her mind. And as she is grappling with all that the angel has just told her, she responds with the leading question that has to rise to the top of her mind. She voices that in verse 34. Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" You see, she understood. I'm not talking about after your wedding, Mary. We're talking about now. How can that be? That's a very good question. This is unprecedented. In God's plan, this will never be repeated. The one time in all the world, in all of history, when a virgin is going to produce a child. How will this be? Now we struggle a little bit being well aware of what the earlier part of this chapter of Scripture recorded. And that is that there was a similar message to a man who we should have expected better from. It was an elderly priest. A priest who had been praying for a child, and when the angel announced that his wife was going to have a child, he asked a very similar question. But there's a nuance of distinction. Zechariah's question was essentially, how can this be? I don't think this can work. His response was one of disbelief, as the angel's continuing message makes clear in that context. Mary's question is a little different. How will this be? You see, that terminology assumes it is going to be. She's not questioning whether or not this is actually going to happen. Her question is, well, how will it be? It'll happen, but I'd like to have some insight about how that's going to happen. That wasn't a question of doubt. That was a question of, I would appreciate having a little more info. Anything else I can know about how this will be? And the angel's response later, and even Elizabeth later, when she greets Mary, she greets her as one who believed the message. She's responding in faith. But we would all like to have more information when we find out the next step of God's plan for us. And it's not something we're expecting. We'd like to know, so how are you planning on bringing this about? Because I'd like to know, since I'm kind of part of it. Be nice to have some background here. That's all she's asking for. More insight without demanding that God answer all her questions. She won't get all her questions answered. God has some important things to say now through the angel in these following verses. And essentially that is, place your trust in God. Trust Him to take care of this. Trust God's power, the power that God promises to put at work in order to advance the gospel using you as His servant, Mary. See how he says that now in verse 35. The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Including the word holy in that message had to be really encouraging to Mary, because as far as she could figure out, the only way for this to happen involves some unholiness. And here's a young woman committed to pleasing God. Oh, this is all going to transpire under the umbrella of holiness. Ah, that would be reassuring to her. So believe God's power, the angel is saying. It's God's power that's going to come upon you, specifically through the Holy Spirit. And the result is going to be exactly what God wants in order to advance the gospel. A holy child, none other than the Son of God. And he has something else to share. By way of encouragement, behold, speaking of this power of God, can you place your trust in God's power? He says, look, even your relative Elizabeth, that you know to be in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. What? This is news. Elizabeth wasn't broadcasting this. She had sent no letter. Elizabeth is expecting, but that's not possible. She's too old. Oh, but don't count out the power of God. And the same power that could produce a child for Elizabeth can do that for you. Where, of course, the obstacle is even more challenging. You're a virgin. It's not that you're an older person. So through God's presence, he gives assurance of his power. The power of God will overshadow you. Through referring to the example of someone else, this is all encouragement for her. Through evidence, there's evidence, and you could go see. In fact, that's exactly what she does after this little interview. With haste, she makes her way to Elizabeth. I've got to see the evidence that there's a baby at work in her body. And she arrives there. That's exactly what she sees. Well, God provided that evidence of his power. But then even something more important. There's a biblical principle at stake. Biblical principle is always the most important thing to apply to your circumstance. Does it look like your challenges are too great? Remember the power of God, as the angel says in verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." If that includes the conception and birth of a baby to a virgin, no problem for God. I would challenge you to place any problem you are facing up alongside that. And you say, yeah, but what about this? All of our what about this is pale in comparison. And the principle stands. Nothing shall be impossible with God. What God calls you to do for the advance of the gospel, what he calls you to endure for the advance of the gospel, you can do by his power. You see, that's the message to Mary. Believe God's power. And verse 38, embrace God's plan. Which is exactly Mary's response. Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mission accomplished. What God wanted was a willing servant, no matter what it cost her. At this stage, what would that have cost Mary? Well, her decision, as expressed in that verse, which she still, there was still much that was a mystery to her. Okay, what's this overshadowing? It's the Holy Spirit. What's his role here? Lots of things she wouldn't know, but she's known enough now. She's heard enough to know, I believe God's power. I believe God can do this, and I'm willing. Confident that God is wise and good and sovereign. He can do everything that he orders to be done. So what did it cost Mary? From her standpoint, this could cost her everything. Can you imagine the ensuing conversation with Joseph? Hey, Joseph, good news. We're going to have a baby. Mary, everything in its own time, right? Well, actually, this time it's going to be a little early. It's going to be soon. And what's Joseph going to do? You see, there was a very real possibility, even a likelihood. He's going to say, so the Holy Spirit, huh? Mary, that story is not adding up. I don't think so. So what's that do to Mary's plans? No wedding? No husband? What does a woman do in that society who isn't married and is not a prospect for marriage to anyone? How is she going to support herself? Where is she going to live? Where will she be acceptable in society after this? Now, Mary's in line to lose everything. What is she going to do about that? How about trust God? When things looked their bleakest, that's her choice. Trust God. So to bring this up to today, when your current job comes to an end, trust God. When the lab report that comes back from the doctor is pretty bleak, trust God. When a good friend dies, trust God. God's power to advance the gospel through you depends on you deciding to trust God. Now, Joseph is another example showing the advance of the gospel in the midst of a trial from a different angle. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 portray Matthew wrestling about the very same thing that we just saw Mary hear. Somehow he's gotten word, whether that came directly from Mary or word of mouth as news circulated in the town. Well, we don't know how he heard, but he knows the facts. She's expecting. And everybody would draw their conclusion about how that happened and what that means. And he's conflicted. What's he going to do about this? Well, he's about to do the most likely thing. He's about to divorce her. Not going to go through with this wedding. He's going to end their engagement and thank the Lord that he got out of this while he still could. He's wrestling with this, and he goes to bed that night. That's what's going through his mind. I'm going to have to do that. Boy, it's sure not what I had planned. That's when Joseph finds out through the angel's announcement to him that the gospel changes life. The advance of the gospel, in order for the gospel to advance, changes your life, changes your plans, changes your thinking. There's a marvelous thing here about to unfold. The very problems that the gospel advance were about to cause for Mary, and yet she went forward anyway with him, with God. God is also able to work in the hearts of other people involved here, especially including Joseph. So verses 20 and 21, where the angel's announcement comes to him. Verse 20, as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, so a little different venue than what Mary had. Apparently it was an actual appearance of the angel in the room with Mary. Here it's in the dream while he's sleeping, but just as clear. The message is just as direct. And the message here is, Joseph, son of David, and he gets right to the problem. And he addresses the very thing that Joseph is most concerned about. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife. Change of plans right there. Change of life plan that he had. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is the New Testament Greek counterpart of the Old Testament Hebrew name Joshua, which in both forms means Yahweh saves. The particular name God chose for the human name for his son, because that would be his key responsibility, to save his people from their sins. Joseph, all that story that you heard from Mary, that the Holy Spirit's involved and this child's going to be the Messiah and he's going to rule forever. Well, there's something else you need to know. He's also going to pay for sin. What Joseph is hearing is truth that until this moment he had not considered. He is coming across facts that he has to now grapple with and let change his thinking. He thinks he already understands truth. He's finding out that no, his perception of truth needs some adjustment. And that's what we have to do whenever we find out that God's plan, as God's sovereign plan unfolds and affects you directly, You have to rethink reality. I was expecting things to go this way based on this set of facts, and come to find out the facts are not quite like that. Now you have to rethink those things and align your perception with what God lets you know through the unfolding of His sovereign plan is actually true. This is God's plan at work. This is the advance of the gospel. And Joseph has a role to play. It requires him rethinking things, coming to some different conclusions. With the most obvious conclusion being, Joseph, this is going to have some challenges for you, but believe me, Joseph, God's plan is better than yours. God's plan is best, no matter how disappointing it might seem at first, no matter how pointless it might seem. I don't see how this helps anything. Trust God's plan. Change your perception. And this is something God's grace can help you with. It seems like God's plan right now for me is bad. Oh no, that thinking has to change. The reality is that God's plan, for all of its altering of your plans, is best. This baby is going to accomplish the work of redemption. There isn't anything more important than that. Now, besides changing your thinking, aligning your perceptions to match the realities of your new circumstance, you also then have to be willing to adjust your agenda. Verses 22 and 23, God's plan, not yours, God's plan is what fulfills His promise. This is now no longer the angel speaking. This is now Matthew having the benefit of some time thinking about all these things. He inserts here an explanation that we need to include in our understanding. All this took place, including the disappointing, shocking parts of this. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. And then Matthew helps us out, knowing that we aren't all going to understand the meaning of that name, tells us that means God with us. Literally indicating here that when this child comes, God has come. God in the person of a baby. There's God's plan. And now you care to put yours up against that one? I thought I had a pretty good plan. Not so great. God's plan is always best. It does require you to change your agenda, though, your plans for the coming years, sometimes the rest of your life. But God's plan includes His people. He hasn't left you out of His accounting. Yeah, I'm going to use Him to do this, and I don't care what happens to Him after that. No, He cares a lot. He includes His people, but He expects you to follow His plan, to adjust yours to match His. The last two verses of this passage relate for us, if we're wondering, what's this man going to do? We find out he did exactly what the angel told him to do. He had a two-part instruction. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, and make sure that when the time comes, you give the baby the name. Two things to do. So then Matthew reports in verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, and I think the night was done for him. No matter what time of night that was, he's not thinking, I wonder if I can get back to sleep for a few hours. Okay, he's done. He's awake, and he is ready to act. When he woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. Now, at this point, she may have been quite a number of miles away if she's already visiting with her relative Elizabeth. But he's made the decision. He announced the plan. He sent word to Mary, who no doubt was fleeing to a place of anonymity for her own safety. Mary, it's safe to come back. The wedding is still on. In fact, we might want to consider advancing the date a little bit. He's already made his decision. As hard as this is going to be, and what was hard for Joseph? Well, he had a workshop there in Nazareth. A little business going. He was going to have to abandon that workshop, his quiet little niche, for the next several years. What's in store for Joseph? Something he never would have anticipated. He's going to have to lead his family to escape from Roman soldiers intent on killing his baby. That wasn't part of his plan. Joseph likely was not the adventurous type. And what happened after that? Well, he had a couple of years of exile in Egypt. Imagine going from Nazareth, where you know everybody, to going to Egypt, where you know nobody. That's what life's going to be like for Joseph. He'll eventually get back to Nazareth. Things are never going to be the same. There was a high cost for Joseph. So how should a servant of God respond when God's plan includes a high cost? Perhaps the loss of everything that you were hoping for. The servant of God accepts your role. If that's what God has for me, if that's what has to happen to me in order to advance the gospel, I'll do it. I accept that role, even though I may still have lots of unanswered questions. So he took his wife, number one, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. Knew her not, of course, indicating the consummation of the marriage, the wedding took place. Made it legal. But then when that son was born, he called his name, Jesus. Why would he do that? He's adopting this baby. This is now mine too, not just Mary's. But the real point is, he's doing what God told him. I'll do it. Whatever this costs, just advance the gospel through me. That's all that matters. The testimony at the men's breakfast yesterday presented an important lesson for all of us. Every trial in life, every one of them, every trial in your life is another opportunity to accept your role in the advance of the gospel. Now, you may have been wondering all throughout this message, wait a minute, how do my trials advance the gospel? I mean, that's not hard to see for Mary. The gospel needed a Savior to be born. That Savior needed a human father to bring him up in a stable environment and to give him his lineage of the Davidic descent through the adoption process. I can see how Joseph and Mary both were crucial for the gospel. But now we're talking about me. I don't see the link here. All right, well, let's clarify that. How do your trials have the potential of advancing the gospel? Two ways. And we heard both of these in the testimony yesterday, which was all the tribute to God's grace. Number one, your trials can advance the gospel in your life, in that it is through trials that God draws us closer to Him. That's the goal of the gospel in your life, that you walk with God, that you walk closely with God, that you walk more closely in the days ahead than you did the days before. That's gospel work. That's gospel advance. That's how God's people become more like Christ. And that's the goal of the gospel too. So first, it is the gospel at work in your life. But second, and just as important, trials are how the gospel can advance in the lives of others. How does it do that? Well, as you share your experiences, other believers can draw strength, can get encouragement, just as Mary did from Elizabeth, just as Mary did from Joseph, and vice versa as well. But there's also another way you can impact the lives of others, and that is through the individuals that you will get to share your testimony with through that trial that need to hear the gospel, that need an opportunity to trust Christ as their Savior. People that you might never have encountered if your path had been clean and smooth and easy, just like you planned it. Hey, God has some changes to make to your plan. Accept those changes. Adjust your agenda. Choose to trust the Lord and accept your role in His plan. Your plan for a new home gets delayed indefinitely. Adjust your plan. Your vacation trip gets canceled again because of COVID. Or possibly this, the Holy Land tour you are planning to take gets canceled again. I'll tell you what, that would be hard. Well, we've got some experience with that. Adjust your agenda. How about if you test positive right before a big family wedding? That's hard. Adjust your plan, because all of those circumstances have the potential to advance the gospel in your life and in the lives of others. Accept your role. Now, that may include the need to ask God's forgiveness, because I've been resisting God's plan. I have been embittered by God's plan. God, would you forgive me? Would you help me accept my role. Father, we thank you today that your plan is right, that it is best. We thank you that your plan is doable by your power. Father, would you forgive us for insisting that our plan would be even better? That argument always fails. Would you help us, Father, in the next moment of trial, which might not be too long from right now, that in the next moment of trial, our response might be, Lord, I accept this change to my plans. I accept my role in the advance of the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.